Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Oh, I give you everything, Lord. Everything I give to you. My heart, my soul, my mind, my body, everything. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come this morning to be at the feast on the food that you have prepared for us before the foundation of the world. We ask, O God, that you would forgive us, that you would have mercy upon us. Lord, we repent for every thought, every word, every action, every deed that we may have done, known or not known, that nothing and no one will be able to hinder this word from going forth, whether seen or unseen, O God. Your word will go forth with power and with authority. Father, we ask that you would touch my eyes, my ears, and my lips of clay, that as I see and hear, I will speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we pray that you touch every listening ear, every open heart, every open soul, that they might hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We're going to be talking today about four things. There are many things that God cannot do and would not do because he's a holy God, a righteous God. But we want to talk about four things today that God cannot do according to his word. We know that God is all-powerful. He is all-known. He's all-seeing God. And we said he can do all things but fail. But there are some things that God will never do. Hear me out today. He will never do. Because God will never commit sin. I want you to know that he will never commit sin. He will never blaspheme. Because he's God. So, let us go into the word, 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 17, 21. The Bible says, all righteousness is sin, or all wrongdoing is sin. And there is a sin that leading to death. Now, what is that sin? That sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. If you curse the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, there is no repentance for you. Hallelujah. There is no escape from the hellfire if you curse the Holy Ghost. You may curse Father, you may curse Son. But if you curse the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit of God, there is no redemption for you. Number one, God cannot tolerate sin or evil. That's the first thing that God cannot do. He cannot tolerate sin or evil. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. And the King James says, the side note in the King James Version is wrongdoings. And as you see that in chapter 3 and verse 4. And every spirit that confesses that not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world, the Antichrist. We have heard that it will come, the Antichrist will come into the world, but now the Antichrist is already here in the world. Now here back in, I'm reading out the Logos Bible, he said all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that everyone who is fathered by God does not sin. There's a sin that leads to death, and there's a sin that leadeth not to death. I want you to understand that. You can do some things, and if you repent, God is faithful and just, according to 1 John 1 and 9, to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the book of Matthew says that if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, which that sin will lead you to death. There's no forgiveness of that sin. I want you to get that. So let me just do one thing here quick, fast, and hurry. And hallelujah, glory to God. This is good. This is good. You want to take these notes because these are things that you need to know. Okay? We need to know these things. Okay? Hallelujah, Jesus. Because you're going to hear a lot of stuff as you teach, as you preach, as you learn, but you want to know the Bible. Okay. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just go in this Bible for a quick second. Hallelujah, Jesus. So much stuff is going on. I tell you, people of God, you really have to pay attention. They're planning some stuff now for our nation and for the people that a lot of people don't really know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sin. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy. He says, the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is essentially the sin of rejecting Christ. By continually rejecting God, free gift of salvation in Jesus, a sinner will surely die. If you curse the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, you will die. And this is not me talking about fleshly death, it's talking about spiritual death. Here back in chapter 5 of 1 John, chapter 5 of 1 John, in the King James Version, he says to us, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now, if you are born again, I'm talking about truly born. I'm not talking about just saying that, well, I am born again, I'm washing the blood, I speak in tongues, and so on. You know, a lot of people say that, you know, and it's okay. They say, I'm born again, I speak in tongues, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and it sounds very eloquent. But the whole gist of the matter is when you begin to live what you are speaking. I mean, you can tell people you got a new car, but they don't know you have a new car until they see you driving down the street. You understand? Even if the car is not you, you behind the steering wheel, you're driving. You see, you know, John said he had a new car. Man, it's true. I just saw him driving to the 7-Eleven. I saw him at the gas station putting in gas in the car. Even if the car you own, they're going to believe. But if you say that you are filled with the Holy Ghost, but you're acting like a devil, people are going to say, man, he can't be full. She can't be full. They can't have God because of the way they are. But if you speak a certain way, live a certain way, they're going to believe that you are who you said you are. You're not sinning. You're no longer going down to the crack house and playing crap, playing the craps. You're not going down to the crack house and smoking crap, the dope house and shooting dope. You're not going to the alcohol place and buying alcohol. Why? Because your life has been changed. So we have to do something that's different. He says, for we know that whosoever is born of God, that means that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. He guards himself. He or she guards themselves from sinning. Yeah, you know, like we're not going to be fellowshipping with people that still is full-blown sinning. You know, all of us have sin. We have sin in our flesh. Our flesh, our nature is sin. This flesh has no good thing in it. Your spirit man is what's changed because, you know, that's why you don't act the way you used to act anymore. So he says, and the wicked one touches him not. Satan cannot touch you. That don't mean he's not going to walk around you. That don't mean he's not going to send you notes. He's not going to put thoughts in your mind, but he can't touch you. Why? Because you are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been purchased by the blood of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus Christ. So he says now, he says, and we know, verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We are of God. We are of the righteousness of God. We are walking in righteousness. We're walking holy, but as we look, we can see the whole world is performing sin. They're performing sin, which is wickedness. Hallelujah. So he continued to speak to us, Brother John, and we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. That's the Father. And we are in him. That is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. In other words, he said, guard yourself from the things that would take you out. Guard yourself from the things that would dissuade you from following him. Mark chapter 3. This is still talking about he cannot tolerate evil. Mark chapter 3 and 29. Hallelujah, glory to God. Mark chapter 3 and 29. Take my cool time today. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Do you hear that? This is what I was telling you about. If you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you have no forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. I mean, your soul will be lost. Because they said he have an unclean spirit. We're talking about Jesus. And he gave them that. He dropped that nugget in them. You know, let them know if you're talking negative about the Holy Ghost, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, there's no forgiveness for you. Habakkuk, go to Habakkuk chapter 1 and 13. Habakkuk chapter 1 and 13. Glory to God. Right before Zephaniah. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. Thou art of pure eyes. Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore, lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously. Listen to what he says. And beholdest thou town, and holdest thy town, when the wicked divorce the man that is more righteous than he. Here Habakkuk the prophet says, you are pure, saying that you are upright or worthy in your mind. You are saved and sanctified. But you see, a man is being persecuted. He is being beaten to death, but you don't say a word. Hear what he's saying. You don't stand up against the injustice. You pass, just like the good Samaritan, like the priest and the Levites in that text. They pass by and look at the man that was being beaten up on the side of the street. The priest look upon him and cross over to the other side. The Levite look upon him. These are all church folk, all leaders in the church, and they cross over. Instead of helping the man, they just look upon him, leave him on the side of the street to die. But the good Samaritan came by. He wasn't even a Jew. He was a half Jew. That's what a Samaritan is. Their father probably was a Jew. The mother was the Samaritan, or the mother was a Jew and the father was a Samaritan. So they're considered dogs. Dogs. You hear what I'm saying? I was watching a show the other night on the internet. As a fact, it was on the internet, and it was saying that how these 10 countries. 10 major countries that don't like black people, that cannot stand black people. And they were telling you that if you're going to go to these countries, that you better be careful. You know, you better be careful and pay attention to where you're going around, because it can cost you a life. And we see that so many black people die in the last few years going to these different countries. They were poisoned, some were beheaded, all this kind of stuff. Because the people just don't. You see, there's something that's in us that God put inside of us as black people that the world can't stand. They're envious. They have the money. They have the light complexion that the world like. Still jealous of us. They're still jealous of us. But it is. Because we got that God-fearing spirit inside of us. Because we were the first that were created in the Garden of Eden. There were no white people. They make the man and God white. They make the woman and God white, but the woman white. Not according to the Bible. So they envy. They know the truth, too. They know the truth. They know that we were the first on the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to the next one. We just talked about God cannot tolerate sin or evil. Now, the second one, we're only talking 4 points today. A lot of scriptures, but we're just trying to into the atmosphere for people that want to know the truth. The second one, God cannot accept any solution except the saving works of his son Jesus. And let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 5 to 7, I believe it is. 1 Timothy, glory to God. There's a difference when you pull it out. When you pull the computer so fast in the Bible, it takes a little bit. 5 and 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So Jesus gave himself on the cross as a living sacrifice for all mankind. Even the ones that reject him, he gave his life for them. Glory to God. So Timothy says here, Timothy is a deacon. And he is saying here, there is one God and one mediator, which is Jesus. He's the one in between God and man. Between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the anointed one, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Wherefore I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. This is Paul writing to Timothy. And lie not, teacher of the Gentiles, in faith and verity, in faith and in truth. I want you to hear that, verity. Now, here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 25, we're talking about four things that God cannot do. Four things God cannot do. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. Here we're talking about now number two thing that God cannot do. He cannot accept any solution. In other words, there's no other way that you can get to the Father except Jesus Christ, the saving grace of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You cannot pay your way into. Nobody can buy you in. Nobody can push you in. Nobody can pull you in. It's got to be the blood. Jesus says, I am the door. If any man come in any other way, he's a thief and a robber. In John 10:10, in John chapter 10, he's important that you know this. He said the thief, John 10:10 said, the thief come not but to kill, steal, and to destroy, but I came that you would have life and life more abundantly. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you begin to have a better, much better life than you can even comprehend. You can say, but I'm saved, and I don't seem to have anything, but you have more than enough. You see, we can't really see what we really have. We just got to know by faith what we have on the inside. Because the Bible tells us this in 1 John 4 and 4. You are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. Who then? All the demonic forces in the world. They've watched the witches, the warlocks, the soothsayers, the rich doctors, all those things you have overcome. He said, for greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So we understand we have greatness living on the inside. You say, I don't have no money in my pocket. I don't have no money in the bank. That don't matter. All that stuff going to go away. You look and see the stuff that are planning to come to hurt people, to hurt mankind. Money not going to save them. But if you have Christ, you don't have to worry. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Listen to me today. You see, I'm not rushing on things. Here he says in John, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25 says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. You see, a lot of people are doing stuff. They are having self-control of their life. They are focusing on what they want to gain in this world. But all the things that they're trying to gain in this world will be is corrupt and will be destroyed even before the coming of the Lord. But the things that we are seeking for, no man can destroy. What we are seeking for is an incorruptible crown that will never be destroyed, will last forever. Hallelujah. This is why Paul said that. Let no man steal your crown, cause you to lose your crown. With the deception. Oh, you can have this, you can have this. And then we go on after everything. We get 3-4 jobs. Because we're able to buy more stuff and do more. Because the more money we get, the more we can do. But in the same time, when we're losing our connection with God, we're losing our connection with God because we're not spending time with him. We want to get more. We want to get more. You remember the man in the Bible, in the book of Luke, that tore down his barn and built a bigger barn. Because he said, I will have more than enough. He had such a great harvest. He said, well, I'll tear down the barn and bigger barn. Instead of, you already have so much for yourself. Why don't you give some? I saw a story this morning, and this man was walking around, and he came from a poor man to a very, very rich man. And he said that he was looking to give back to the world because he had gained so much in the world. So he was going, he had these two old raggedy shoes that the whole front of the shoe was coming off and torn off. I have it on my page now because just to bless somebody, because somebody blessed me, but let me see it. I will bless. You know, sometimes people poor stick, they don't know the power that these things have, some of the stuff have. And I saw his stuff and it just blessed me. And he was going to all of these people, said, look, he says, I can't find a job with them. And he says, I want these shoes. Can you fix these shoes? So my son, I have a son, and they wouldn't let him in the school because his shoes are so bad. He said, I can't afford to get him new shoes, and I can't afford to fix these shoes. And all the people that had the shoe businesses, you know, the shoe repair people, the cobblers, they call them, they would tell the man, no, we can't do that. Go get a job. Go somewhere else. And if he went to so many people, and everybody was just looking at him. He was dressed like a poor man. But he was using this experience to see who would help. And everybody was telling him, go look for a job, look somewhere else. We can't help you, we can't do this. And then he find one man, and this man, he has 7 children. He says, his wife has 4 children from before, and then after he married to her, they had 3. So he lost his job working for this big company, so he had to go into starting a shoe business. On the streets, fixing shoes for people that come by and drop off shoes. Sometimes people want to get the shoes right on their feet to fix. So the man come and he asked the man, could you fix these shoes for me? Because like my son can't go to school because they need the shoes. So, you know, you look at the shoes, you can tell the shoes belong to a big man. A grown person with a little boy. He says, my son can't go to school because I can't afford to buy him new shoes and I can't afford to fix these shoes. So the man says, you want me to fix the shoes for you for free? He said, yes. I don't have any money to pay you. But in the shoes that he's holding, he have thousands upon thousands of dollars in both shoes. Each shoe have a whole lot of money, $100 bills. I mean, pack a whole big stack and $50 bills, $500 bills. And the man couldn't see them, though. He couldn't see the money because he had the shoes leaning up. Leaning towards him, and the man could see the front of the shoes, and the side of the shoes was all torn up. So the man says, I'm a poor man. He says, I got 7 children. This is the shoemaker, the shoe repair man. I'm putting this in this sermon here, too. And he says, my wife leave me for a man that could do more for her, a younger man. He says she was an older woman, and after he lost his job, she leave him and leave him with her 4 kids and their 3 kids. So he has 7 kids. And he told the man, he says, and I told the kids, don't mind that she gone. Mama gone. He said, I'm going to take care of all of y'all. So he started the shoe business. And he says, my story is too long to tell you. Tell the man, the rich man that got the shoes in his hand. And the rich man said to the poor man, he says, I don't matter. I got time because I don't have a job to go to. I don't have no money, don't have anything. And I can listen to it. The man told him this story. And when he finished telling the story about how the woman treated him so badly and how he's taking care of his kid, the rich man said, look, the man that the shoemaker said, he said, I'll fix your shoes for you because you don't have any money. And I experienced all that you're going through now. And then the man said, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I've been to so many people today asking them to fix these shoes that I didn't have any money to fix them for my son. And everybody insulted me and made me feel so bad. But I come to you and the first one that would do them for me. He says, to tell you the truth, I'm really not poor. He said, matter of fact, I am rich. And I really don't need these shoes fixed. He said, but because of you willing to fix the shoes for me, seeing that I was a poor man, he said, I'm going to do something for you and your kids. And he handed the man the shoes. The man started crying. He gave him the shoes. The shoes had so much money. And the shoemaker says, he said, are you really going to give me all of this money? He said, yes. So your kids would not want for anything. You can do a lot for your kids with this money. He did, and then he told the man, he said, now I got something else for you. And he had a brand new shoebox. And I was watching, and I'm saying, man, he brought him a brand new pair of shoes, not knowing what size foot he is or anything. I said, wow. So he says, here's for you. And when he opened the box, he had about $1 million in the shoebox. You hear me? And the man, the shoemaker, the cobbler started crying so bad, he got up and hugged the man. What I'm seeing is where I put this is that when you do what pleases God, God will bless you. God will bless you. I never want for anything. Why is that? And some people think, well, Apostle God, man, I don't have money. I have Jesus. But I never want for anything. Why? Because I'm always giving to the poor. I'm giving to the widows. I'm giving to the fatherless. I'm giving to the motherless. I'm always doing. We are always sending money to Africa, India, or here in America, in the Caribbean. We are always sending money. We go to make some money, make a little job, and we turn it over. We keep some for ourselves and send away the rest. Why? Because we can't take anything from here. You have to continue give to the poor. You want from God, give to the poor. Give to the poor. Look for somebody. Keep some money in your pocket. That way you see some person on the street that is hungry, that you can go somewhere and say, is it okay if I go to the store and buy you a sandwich, if I go get you a Coke or get you a Pepsi or a ginger ale or get you some hot coffee and a sandwich? Ask them, or if they don't, because you know the people, they're very skeptical. So say, come with me, I'll take you to the store. Come to me in the store and buy them what they want. Do you know how you would get blessed? Man, God will open windows for you that nobody can close. Here we are. He says here, Jesus, let's go to John chapter 10. St. John chapter 10. I have so much in the Logos Bible, but I want to go to St. John in the King James Version. Today is Saturday. I know people want to do things on their weekend. We got, the weather's not good here today. Well, it's not dreary. It's still good. Forgive me, Father. The weather's still good, but it's dreary out. John chapter 10. St. John, and we got two more points to give you. So let's put in these scriptures. John chapter 10, and let's start at verse 7. St. John chapter 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Hear what Jesus says. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 9. Verse 8 says, all that ever came before me, everybody that came before him, were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you come in through Jesus Christ, if you receive him as your Lord and your Savior, he will take care. You shall be nourished. You're going to find all that you have in Ephesians chapter 2 and 18. Parallel scripture with this. Okay? It's right parallel with this. Ephesians 2 and verse 18. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That is the parallel scripture, the verse, John chapter 10, verse 9. For through him who? Through Jesus Christ. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This is the richness, people. This is where we want. We want to have access to the Father. And he can only accept this. Remember we're saying he cannot accept any solution except the saving work of his son Jesus. Hallelujah. So everything got to, he's only going to accept what comes true. The Bible says, John 14 and 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me or by me. You hear that? This is what the scripture says. We want to do things another way, but there's only one way. The way is Jesus. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 9. We're talking about this. Four things that God cannot do. Four things. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 8, I believe. 9 and 8, yes. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, shown by this opening, the Holy Spirit had not yet come. People were preaching about Jesus, but they have not received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Jesus was still in the earth realm. When Jesus is in the earth realm, not one time that two of them was on the earth at the same time. This is why Jesus said, if you see the Father, you see me. And if you see me, you see the Father. But the Father physically wasn't on the earth. But Jesus told the disciples, it's expedient that I leave you. In other words, expedient that I go. It's a must that I leave you. But when I leave, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, when I leave, I will send the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and he will bring all things to your remembrance. So Jesus had to go back into the Father's bosom where he came from, because they are one, and then the Holy Spirit was released to come to the earth to keep us, to help us to understand what Jesus has said, what he had penned down for us to go by, that we would understand the blueprint of Jesus' teaching. So the Holy Ghost comes in and do this. Hebrews 10 and verse 19 and 20. Next page over. This is all filling in there that what God accepts. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Having therefore brethren boldness into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. So Jesus prepared a way for us to get in, to come into the Father, giving us access to the Father by his sacrifice, by his laying down his life on the cross. If not, we could not come before the Father. Why? Because we are considered unclean until we have been consecrated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to John, St. John, chapter 1, the Gospel of John. That's right before Acts, after Luke. St. John. Hallelujah, Jesus. John 14 to 17. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among, and we beheld it, or we seen it, we touched it, his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. full of unmerited favor and truth. Okay? That's what he's saying. John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, or whom I told you, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came true by Jesus Christ. You hear that? The law was given by Moses. The law represents the schoolmaster teaching us how to live right, teaching us how to be obedient. But grace came by Jesus, unmerited favor. We got something that we don't deserve. We deserve death, but we got life from Jesus. Go to 1 Timothy. We're still in. He cannot accept any solutions except the saving work of his son Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. We read this earlier. The man Christ Jesus. One mediator. John chapter 18 and 37. St. John again. We're moving back. We got two scriptures to come out of John here now. And then we'll go to the third thing. John chapter 18 and verses 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. If you have truth, if you understand the truth, you would hear God's voice. Because he said they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Not truth alone and not spirit alone, but in spirit and in truth. He said, for this cause I came into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the world, as of the truth, heareth my voice. If you understand the truth, if you love the truth, if you're seeking the truth, you're going to hear the voice of God. The people of the world, most people of the world cannot hear him because they're not interested in the truth. They'll tell you to your face. John chapter 11 and 20 and 25. John chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he live. Yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, verse 26, and believeth in me, shall never die. Never die spiritual. That's what we're talking about. Because you know everybody going to die. Believeth thou this? He said to Martha, Mary. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come in the world. And then she had, and when she had said so, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Now, Lazarus is dead. Their brother is dead. But the giver of life is on the scene. You know, when we were in the house, let's go to John chapter 6, and I'll give you the next part. When we were in the world and we were doing the stuff that we were doing, we were actually dead. You know, you all probably see the picture called The Walking Dead. Those people look like they're living. Some of them look like they're living. Well, at least the movements, but, you know, the way they was moving, you could say they look like they're dead. But they were walking. They were walking and making funny sounds. Today, people walking and make funny sounds. They actually dead. They don't have the life of Christ inside of them. You don't have life till you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. They'll mock you, they'll mock me, they'll mock us. Because we say we have life and we say that they're dead. Because they don't understand the truth. You hear what I'm saying? They don't understand the truth. They don't know the truth. The Bible says you should know the truth and the truth should make you free. They don't understand the truth and don't care about the truth. Even some of your family members, some of my family members don't care about the truth. And you tell them about the truth, they'll mock you. Even family members. Hear what he says. John, the next part of the four things God cannot do, he cannot reject anyone who comes in the name of Jesus. If you come in the name of Jesus, he cannot reject you because that's his son. That's his only begotten son. John chapter 6, verse 37 to 40. Listen to what he says. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Do you hear what Jesus says? People have seen him. They heard him, but they don't believe. We are going out and we are preaching and teaching to people and telling them about Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. They don't want to hear. Let's read verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, verse 36, that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which have sent me, that of all which he have given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. See, it's so important for us to believe, to trust Jesus, to rely on him, to follow him, his sayings. How are you going to trust him if you don't know the word? If you don't know the word, if you don't believe the word, how are you going to trust him? And then how are you going to trust him if the people are not teaching the truth? We'll go over to Romans chapter 10 in a minute. Let's go to. And the thing is that when you come, you cannot come to him except he draws you. No one can come to him except he draws them. They have to be drawn. The Father has to draw them to Jesus. Hallelujah. And then they receive him and begin to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My Father, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Now here, the next one, the last one that we want to do here is God will not take second place in our lives. This is number four. Remember, I told you four things that God cannot do. God will not take, he's not going to be the co-pilot of your life. Either he's leading, or either he's driving, or he's not getting in the car. The car represents your heart, your soul representing the car. He's not going to get in if he can't drive, if he can't lead. You say, well, yes, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I still got to do my own thing. I still got to have fornication, adultery. I still got to steal. I still got to get drunk. I still got to go to the nightclub. Jesus is not leading your life. The devil's leading. You still want to go to the club. You still want to hang out. Still want to be at the street corner. God is not leading. If you're at the street corner, you ought to be preaching the gospel. You ought to be telling somebody about how God delivered you, how he set you free. That's where you should be doing, that street corner. But if you are the street corner because you want to hang with the smoked up, God is not leading. He's not leading. You leading. And you know what happens when we lead? We always end up the wrong place. Every time we lead, we end up the wrong place. Glory to God. Well, listen to what he says. God will not take second place in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You have to really believe in Christ Jesus from the center of your heart. You got to believe in him. Don't let nobody discourage you, because people will discourage you. And don't let nobody put you against your brother or against your sister. A lot of preachers do that. They put each other against one another. They're doing that. They'll make you mad with this brother or this sister, and their sister didn't do anything wrong. But you can't fellowship with them. Understand? This is what the devil does. This is not what God does, because God desires to see us become one. He says so in John chapter 17, 22. He wants us to be one, as he and the Father is one. So this is what's going on. Here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says, fall at peace with all men and holiness, because without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, without holiness. Psalm 34 and 14. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Psalm 34 and 14. Let's go over there. This is the parallel scripture. He will not take second place in your life. 34 and 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. If you claim to be a servant of God, if you claim to be a child of God, part of the body of Christ, you got to depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. It said the eyes, verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. If you are in need, you're crying out to the Lord. God will hear you. God will hear you. But a lot of times before we cry out to God, what we do, we cry out to everybody else. We call out to people. The Bible says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. None of them in him shall be desolate. James, St. James chapter 2 and verse 26. St. James before Peter. Chapter 2 and verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. God will not take second place in our lives. We have to have faith in the finished work of Jesus, the finished work of the cross, and trust him. Depend on him. Rely on him. Allow him to lead us and guide us in the midst of all that we are facing in this world. We have to allow him to lead us. He is the only way, the only truth, and he is life. There's no life without him. And that's all God going to accept. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. We read this scripture yesterday. I think I put this in yesterday or the day before. 12 and 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you or beg you or plead with you, brethren. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is, or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to live a life that makes a difference, not just in what we're seeing. Remember, James just says faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. We got a lot of faith, but we're not, people can't see what we're doing. We're not, people not seeing that we are walking in this light. We talk about the light, we sing about the light, we dance about the light, but are we walking in the light? What's the light represent? Righteousness, holiness. It means that you and I, we have to be different. We have to be 100% different. We can't compromise because somebody said this to somebody. We cannot compromise. And here in Romans chapter 10, we always say this for salvation. And listen to what he says. Let's start at verse 8. But what say it? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we speak. That if you confess, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto upon him. For whosoever shall call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? Believe. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This is so important that we must understand that we must get the word in us. The word has to be in us, and we have to preach the gospel of glad tidings, good tidings, which is good news. We cannot compromise the gospel because of what we want or what we need. And this is what a lot of leaders do. They compromise the gospel. They water it down. They tell you sweet stuff full of honey. Paul said the people have itchy ears. They just want to hear that stuff that excite them. But the thing that cuts them, that stimulates the spirit man to walk holy, they don't want to hear that. Because they tell, what's good is holiness and I'm broke. What good is holiness and I'm hungry? But Jesus said, I'll feed you. They that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Jesus sat at the well, at Jacob's well, with a woman that was an adulteress. She had five husbands plus the one she had was six husbands. Neither one was hers. And Jesus sat at Jacob's well in 100 plus degrees, 110, 120 degree weather, in the sun, waiting for her to come. He said, told her that she was a Samaritan woman. And she even questioned Jesus how he can ask her for water as a Samaritan. That Samaritan Jews didn't get along. And Jesus told her, if you knew who it was that was asking for water, you would give him a drink of water. Jesus told her that if he told her that she was a woman in Samaria, that he came there to see her. He was the only one. You were the only person on the earth. Jesus came down from heaven through 40 and two generations just to save your life. And he put somebody on the street that would tell you about the love of Jesus. And then when you hear it, you reject it. You reject it. That's in John chapter 4. Told her to give him a drink. And she started questioning him why he asked for a drink. He's a Jew. And she's a Samaritan woman. But Jesus wanted to give her something that she never had. That's the living water. Himself. As the Bible called him the living water. Calls him the bread of life. Hallelujah. The light of the world. All these things the Bible called him. And when you get connected to the light of the world, you'll never walk in darkness. In other words, you will never want to sin. Because sin represents darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the light of the world represents righteousness, holiness. And you're walking in it, you're living it. You know, but it's, sometimes it's hard because we are so apt to watching the others, the world. And if we don't have what the world have, we feel that we're not prospering. We're not prospering. So what we do, we go into a complaining mode. We complain about this and complain about that. Because we don't have it. You know? We don't have it. Sometimes people have set you up. You know? I was just set up by a pastor, but God released me. Understand? And I didn't believe the pastor was trying to set me up. Understand? But if you walk in the light, every dark thing that tried to get close to you, God would expose. These folk believe in witchcraft and they're preaching for years but don't know the truth. And they believe in witchcraft. They've been preaching for years, but don't know the truth. The plant that God made, he made for the use of the world, the use of his people. He told Adam and God, every plant that I made for you. For you to use, to eat, use for medicine, and all types of stuff you use. I got two plants in my house, right? One in my living room and one in my bed. I got other plants. I got some aloe vera and other plants. I got spider plants. I got snake plants. I got them in my house because I know what they do. And plants put out oxygen. If you don't know that, plant puts out oxygen, and plants take a lot of the bad things out of the atmosphere that will make you sick. And I tell you, ever since I got that, I put that plant in my bedroom. Never had a plant in my bedroom before. Always had plants in the living room. And, man, I'm sleeping so peaceful. So peaceful. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me just read some scriptures to you right here. Matter of fact, before I do that, let me do this. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We haven't done this sadness for a little while. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're so good. Jesus. Glory to God. Yes. Father, we ask your blessing. We ask your blessing this morning. This is the Sabbath day. We ask your blessing on this Holy Communion, God. Take of this Holy Communion, Lord. We ask your blessing. We ask you to bless this fruit of the vine that represents your body and this wheat of the field, this fruit of the vine that represents your blood that was shed for us and this wheat of the field that represents your body that's being broken for us, oh God. We pray now, oh Father, that you bless You bless this fruit and bless this wheat, oh God, that it will be transformed from the natural to the supernatural, oh God. And our God, as we partake of these today, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. This is what he says, but to do it the right way. Paul says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let us eat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. After the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. The rest I will set in order when I come. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word and to his holy communion. Let us all drink the blood of Jesus together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we bless you. Father, we thank you. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes whiter than snow. We thank you for the blood, and we thank you for your crucified body, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you have done it all for us. Lord, given us access to the throne of glory. Oh, God, to that holy, holy sanctuary in heaven, oh, God. We thank you, Father. We ask you to continue to bless us, continue to keep us safe and secure, Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, the sweet Jesus, he came into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is what the Lord Jesus did. He came into this world to set us free, to set the captives free. Hallelujah, glory to God. I gave you four solid points this morning in this sermon, which you got to go back and listen to. Don't just get the word. Don't just get it. Listen to it. Go back and listen to it. Because sometimes I get distracted, you know, people knocking on the door and all this stuff. Here this morning, My granddaughter, she's mad at me right now because she wanted me to take her and her girlfriends to the train station at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock is when I begin the service. You know, she ain't making no money. They want to go downtown Boston and hang out, you know. I said, no, I can't do it. If she was going to work, I'd get in my car and take her to work. So she's upset with me now, but I'm not worried about that. She can stay upset. That don't bother me now. You know, of course, the enemy has a way, even in your family. I'm talking to Eve, the enemy has a way of trying to distract us from doing what God calls us to do, you know. You don't have to be in a church building to do what God has you to do. You don't have to have a big old amount, big old building and a whole bunch of people. No, you can do what God called to do right where you are. Glorify him. Honor him with your life. Honor him. Your life is your ministry. That's why I told a lady yesterday, oh, well, I ain't got no church. I said, you don't have to have a church building to have a ministry. Your life is your ministry. That's what Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Your life is your ministry. We want to have a building. If we don't have a building, we don't think that we are pastor or we are bishop or we are apostle. Though the apostles, they had no buildings. Go back and study Paul, the greatest apostle. The one who had an encounter with Jesus on his way to Damascus. Go back and study his ministry. He had no church. But he blessed church. He consecrated church and put them in order, give them a pastor. They had pastors. He come and consecrate the church. But they called installing. You know, he came and installed the church because the people had a house church. He came by and blessed it. They ain't had no mega buildings like we have now and auditor, bigger stadiums and stuff. They had churches. That's what the Bible said from Acts, they went from house to house breaking bread, praying and fasting and breaking bread. Today you have to have a big building on some street. And the first thing the people ask you, where's your building? Where's your church? That's what they ask you. And if you say, well, I don't have a building, they say, well, you're not really an apostle. You're really no apostle because you ain't got no building. You know? And Jesus is not coming back for that building. He's coming back for a church that's not made with him. The church is not made with him. The church is the people. It's not the building. But they're caught up on a building. I'm not caught up in building. I'm caught up on souls. Souls. We got people in India and Africa and all these different countries. We got people in Brazil. We got people in the Fiji Islands. We got people in Amsterdam. We got people over in, we call that place, Holland. My God, they people are all over that are connecting us with us, that has as connected and still connected with people in the Bahamas. We got people in St. Lucia's, in Antigua, in Barbados. We got people all over the world, Canada, right here in the United States, connect with us. We don't need a building. We don't need a building to connect with God's people. You're connecting in the spirit, man. You're connecting in the spirit. I have people call me from all over the world. Thank God for the messenger and WhatsApp. Because, you know, it was cost me hundreds upon hundreds of dollars. I have one bill, it was $1,400, one phone bill. But God paid it all. Because I was praying for people. I was praying for people on the nighttime, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes 12 o'clock at night, they call it. And I get up and pray for them. Sometimes I'm tired coming from work. And I still get up out the bed and pray for them. Why? Because that's the church. That's what the church does. These folk got the big building, and they tell you can only call them up to 8 o'clock. Some people tell you can only call them to 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. After that, they say they turn off the phone. But they say that they are ambassadors for Christ Jesus. Which Christ are they talking about? Which Christ are they talking about? They got a lot of people named, a lot of people, especially the Spanish people, got the name Christ. They call it Cristo, and they call themselves Jesus, which is Jesus. They call themselves Jesus. That's their name. So you got to ask yourself, which Jesus is they worshiping? You know? Which Christ is they worshiping? Because they don't have no time for God's people. They're not really true servants. True servants will get up any time and pray for you. They will help you financially, physically, and spiritually. They can't help you time. They always got something to do. You say, well, I need some help. I got to get to the doctor. Can you give me a ride to the doctor? No, I got something else to do. You know, you want to get a job, right to the job, and they don't have, they got something else to do. They always have something to do. They can't work. They don't work for God, people. They work for their own self. They work for their bank account. They work for their, you know, for their family. Me, my phone, no more. That's what they work for, not for God. But I thank God that ever since that he called me out of darkness into his light, that I've never been working for myself. I've been working for him. And when I work for him, I work for his people. You know, when you work, you're servicing God. That's how you serve him, by serving his people. But if you don't know Jesus today, man, this today is a good day. Good day. I'm looking at so many people losing their lives on the computer and television. Let me tell you something. Today is a good day because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. I don't care who you are. You could be the preacher And you could be on the puppet or you'll be coming to the pauper. I don't care who you are. Tomorrow is not promised. Tonight, the next hour is not promised to anyone. Anyone. Somebody was just telling some man that just dropped down dead. Young man, too, just dropped down dead. I mean, he young man. He not in his 40s, somewhere in his 20s, just dropped down dead. Just dropped down dead. And it just had another man here, the 20-something, 30-something years, if that old, in Hollywood, just dropped down dead, too. You don't have to be old to that. The Bible says you don't have to be old to be near eternity. You always say that on a prayer of salvation. You don't have to be old to be near death. Death can come in at any time. Death is always waiting at the door. Do you know that? Always waiting at the door. Are you ready if it call on you today? If it call the next hour, the next minute, will you be ready if it call? Or will the people say, well, she didn't ever receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. She just gone. And then they lie. The preacher comes and says, oh, she was a good woman. He was a good man. They're lying. You're not good till you know Jesus. Hallelujah. You got to get him in your heart. And then you got to live out. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. Once you get him in your heart, now you're going to start living. You can't look at your circumstances. Because we let the circumstances stop us from living. Listen to what he says here. Let me break this down for you. He says, let me give you this little piece here. Thanks, we just get on. And this was the first scripture we read. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17 and 21. He says, all unrighteousness, any act that is outside of God's plan for humanity and the world should be opposed. This is what John says. Do not sin. John does not mean people automatically cease all sinful behaviors after they become believers. No, I told you that before. Instead, he means that they do not deliberately continue sinful patterns. Because they trust Christ's work on the cross that defeated sin's power. We talked about that the other day. You understand? We trust in him. They also confess their sins to God and receive forgiveness, allowing for God and other believers to help them overcome sin. 1 John 1 and 9. The power of the evil one, in contrast to believers who belong to the true family of God, people who merely abide by the values of human societies, live under the power of evil one, of the evil one. That is the devil. 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Believers are protected by God. We say that in verse 18. First John chapter 5, verses 18. Understand? Believers are under God's protection. While those who reject the truth of God's Son lives under the power of the devil. 1 John 3 and 8. Understand this. 1 John 5 and 20. This one is the true God and eternal life. John affirms God and his Son who are one. John chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. Believers in Jesus embrace the idea of God as Son in the flesh and live according to his commands. Idols. It refers to anything that stands between people and God. It could be your car, your motorcycle. It could be your nice house on a hill. It's an idol. It could be your diamond ring. It could be your Rolex watch. Could be your Cadillac. My Cadillac could be your Bentley or your Lexus, and you worshiping it. It becomes an idol. It doesn't matter. Whether physical or spiritual, all the falsehoods that John has opposed in the letter are forms of idolatry. Go back and read the book, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 to 20, 21. Read it for yourself. I see the things that the apostle is trying to get us to stay away from or reject if we are walking for Christ Jesus. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. We were lost in sin. Not just lost, don't know where to go. We were lost in sin. Sin was leading us and guiding us. Okay? Sin and the author of sin. He is Satan, the father of sin. He's the father of lies. He was leading us where he wants to go. We were telling lies. Every other word that came out of our mouth was a lie without the truth until we find Jesus. Then we had to allow Jesus to use our tongue. Because even when we receive him as Lord and Savior, the tongue still wants to speak lies. We still want to be rejected to the things that are of God until we totally give our heart over to him. When we give our heart unto him and he starts to lead us and guide us, we start finding ourselves deviating from the lies. We start shifting from lies and start telling truth. And every time we try to tell a lie, we find that we are convicted inside. And the Holy Spirit said, no, that was not the truth. That which you're trying to say right now is not the truth. Don't say it. Start getting stronger and stronger, being able to overcome the lies and ready to tell the truth. That's what happened. It takes time. It don't happen all of the time. You know, I had to give my tongue over to the Lord because even when I first got saved, when I got baptized and I was running in the Holy Ghost and talk, days after, weeks after, on the job, somebody was messing. I was getting ready to cuss them out. And the Holy Spirit had to arrest me. And I was arrested for a long time. A lot of times I was arrested because I wanted to say the things and do the things that was not of God. And the Holy Spirit had to arrest me and keep me in check. That's what the Holy Ghost is there for. Keep you in check onto the right path so you don't deviate from the right path and go back. You understand? This is what this is all about. There's only one way, and that way is Jesus. And God is only going to reset, is only going to accept the things that come in Jesus' name. And we talked about that in the sermon this morning. He's only going to accept the things that came in Jesus' name. So if it's not in Jesus' name, I'm telling you, the Father is not going to receive it. You have people that are preaching and pastoring now, are pastors, and all they think about is witchcraft. I'm going to talk about that next time. All they think about is witchcraft and voodoo and all that kind of stuff. And they always believe somebody's doing something to them. Know what? You rebuke stuff. I rebuke every spirit of witchcraft, every satanic spirit, every demonic spirit, every sorcerer, every witch, every warlock, every soothsayer, every lotion, every potion, every arrow that they send to stop us, go back to them. That's what you do as a preacher. But you don't run around and say, oh, Lord, witchcraft, somebody working witchcraft. How are they going to work witchcraft on you? You washing the blood. Do you know that? I don't believe in snakes. I don't believe in this. Oh, snakes are real, but they don't have no power over you. And they have some plants named snake plants, but they don't have power to do evil. They're not evil plants. They're just snake plants, but they're not evil plants. You got plants called spider plants. They got a spider name, but they're not an evil spider that's going to get up in the night and come and clob you with his stings. Man, people are so full of witchcraft that they don't realize that they're operating on the satanic power. They're full of that stuff. Hallelujah, I got two snake plants in my house, one in the living room and one in the bedroom. Is the snake going to get up and crawl across the bed and eat us? No, because it's a plant. It's taking all the stuff out the atmosphere. That's what this plant do. If somebody coming to your house that got bad energy, it takes the bad energy out. You'll realize the person would start acting different because why that plant is drawing that bad energy out of them. Because it's not going to let bad energy flow in your house. That's what those plants do. But people are so full of voodoo inside of them, and they're talking about one day preaching, shut your mouth and sit down. Shut your mouth and sit down. Warlock, witch, shut your mouth and sit down. Don't care what you own. Whatever you own will leave you because you're not giving God the full, you're not giving God all the reverence that's due to his name. Didn't you see what Paul did in the book of Acts, chapter 16? Where that witch was called, falling behind them? The witch didn't bother him. Paul said, look, she's just a nuisance. She's just a nuisance, so wait a minute. I'm going to let her go ahead. And she keeps falling on and calling out. These are the men of God who preach the way of salvation for several days. And then one day, Paul got so upset with her. Paul just turned around, rebuked the spirit inside of her, and tell the spirit, come out. Come out. Paul wasn't afraid of her. He knows she didn't have the power to do nothing to them. Because they're under the blood. When you're under the blood, you just command everything that's not under the blood to go. This is what these preachers don't know about. They don't know nothing about that. They're afraid. Afraid. That's why the devil whip them up so bad. Every time you look around, they're falling over. Heart attack, cancer, all this stuff is busting them up because they're afraid. Man, use the power that's inside you. Jesus told you that. You have overcome them. What then? The witches and warlocks and soothsayers and all those folk that's out there in the world acting, working for the devil. You got to stand up and stand flat-footed that you are Christ. You belong to Christ. But they can't. They don't know what that's all about. They say that stuff. They say that to family members and friends. Oh, we got power. You don't got no power. And I preach that. And all that stuff, man. Look, if you got power, you're not afraid of anything. You just know that you got Christ living on the inside. And when you know you got Christ living on the inside, you can operate the power on the outside. You can release the power, and the power flow out of you. And every satanic, every demon will head on back where he came from. You understand? Everywhere. Glory to God. That's all. I just thank God for you all that got a chance to get on this morning and take me back, you know, because, you know, sometimes you get so busy, you forget. And this morning, the Holy Spirit said, no, you got to take Holy Communion. And I had the wine here and the kosher crackers here for so long. And the Holy Communion. And he said, get up, take a Holy Communion today. So we're going to take Holy Communion again every Saturday like we should do. As the Holy Spirit has just reminded me, that's what I got to do every Saturday. You know, Holy Communion. But, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day that you allow us. And, Lord, there's somebody out there in computer land that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And while they're surfing through the web, and they come onto this page, Blog Talk Radio, they say, well, let me just check out what these people are saying over there, because my name is not up there as a preacher. I took that down from before. We used to put up the preacher's name or who preaching, but we don't put that up anymore. And so my name is not up there. You might see my name on there as the watchman over the line, over the system, but not as the prayer, as the pastor, this and all that kind of stuff. But so somebody out there that don't know Jesus, Lord and Savior, you want to invite him in your life today. What you want to do, according to Acts 2:38, you want to repent. You want to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you should receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So right where you are, we release a lot of scriptures today. Just ask the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I repent today of all of my sin. Lord, you know there's so many. It's more than the book can hold. But I come to you just as I am. You said that if I call upon you, that you would answer me and that you would show me great and mighty things that I have no knowledge of. So today, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you with great expectations. And first, Lord, I want to say I repent of my sin and that I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. Lord, your Bible says, your word says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's talking about me, Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Lord, I don't want to continue in sin, Lord Jesus. I want to have eternal life. I received Jesus and the blood that was shed at Calvary, the water that came out of his side, the blood that came down all his body, all his back, all his chest, all his legs, all his brow. I received that blood that washed me and cleansed me, oh God, and marked me as a child of God. I receive it this morning. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive you now as my Lord my Savior and my soon coming King. If you just said that prayer and you believe in your heart, like James says, faith without works is dead. You believe it in your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. You want to study. The Bible no one talks about reading. It only talks about studying in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. You just want to study the word of God. You want to study mean going over and over until the word take roots in your heart. I remember as a young man in the church, I should wonder how my pastor should just walk across the altar and just call out scriptures out of his belly just like that. And I said one day, I said, Dad, how you didn't call all them scriptures like that? Are you not looking in the book? He said, son, because I study the word of God every day. Every day I study. And eventually I memorize the scriptures and they can come up. I said, oh, he said, well, just learn one scripture a day. Learn one scripture. And I would carry the flash card so I can pull out the scripture. I write down the scripture on a little card and I'm in my book and I'm in the truck and I would look at the scripture and I keep going over and over and over. Then finally scripture started lodging in my heart so I could regurgitate them at time. But today, for you man of God, woman of God, you accept Christ, study the word, get the Bible of your choice and study the word of God. And call up somebody, some preacher that know how to baptize in Jesus' name according to Acts 2 and 38. And according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. What did Mark say? Mark says, let's pull up that because we see it all the time, but oftentimes we don't rehearse it in your hearing. But this is what Mark says in the King James Version. This is what Mark says. Glory to God. There's a lot of people say, well, you don't have to get baptized to be saved. Well, because the thief on the cross didn't get baptized. Well, he was in a different dispensation. But in this dispensation now, dispensation of grace, you need to be baptized. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, 18. This is what he said. Jesus is speaking. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, he that believeth what? Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe what happened at the cross. Shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Or condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, you got to believe. You got to receive the word of God. You got to believe the word of God. And you got to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You understand? After you repent, baptize. Before you get baptized, call up your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. You want people to be witnesses. You want witnesses. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about a large crowd of witnesses. We want these ones to be alive. The witnesses we're talking about was the prophets in the Bible. They were witnesses that things are penned down about the works of God. But we want living witnesses to see us going down that water in Jesus' name. In that liquid grave, we're leaving everything that held us hostage in this world. We're leaving in that water, in that grave, and we're coming up in the righteousness of Christ. Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we're coming up. And then we're going to find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get ourselves involved in ministry. Do something. Clean the bathroom, clean the sanctuary, set up the pews, clean the altar. Do something in ministry. Don't just go and sit down on your do-nothing and just want to hear a word from the pastor not doing nothing with the word. Say, I got a good word last week. It was a powerful word last week. But did you tell anybody about the word that you got last week? Could you remember the word you got last week? Did you have the scriptures written down that you can share with somebody? You can post to somebody's page and say, man, my pastor preached this word last week and it just moved me. I'm just sending it to your page. Hopefully it'll do the same for you as it do for me. Why do we do that? We keep the word. We keep it. We hold on to it. Just hold on to it. I mean, it's better than gold, but we hold on to it. We don't share it with anybody. Did somebody page? That word that you heard that really give you a tickle in your spirit, that sweeten your heart. We're sweeten somebody's heart, too. But we get it, and we hold on to it. Say, preacher, preach real good. I don't care who preach. Don't necessarily have to be me or next, but send the word to somebody. Let them get, give them a chance to receive salvation too. That person you send the word to may not even know Jesus. But by listening to the word of God and hear prayer, salvation may have replied and invite God into their heart and be saved. Thank God for you all today. The line is open for anyone that want to come on in. The line is open. Line is open. Oh, we'll get out of here. Line open. Well, praise the Lord. We got a good few people on the line this morning for Saturday morning. We thank the Lord for you all. We truly appreciate you. Appreciate you all for coming on and hearing the word of God. We pray that the word did great in your hearing today and that you're growing, that you're trusting God to take you where you need to be in him. You're depending on him. You're relying on him. You're not taking his word for granted, but you're allowing the word to grow deep in your heart, in the crevices of your heart, so that you can grow spiritually. Hallelujah. Trust him. I thank God for you. Father, we just bless God. We just praise you. We just glorify your name. We honor you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have said, all that you have done, all that you're doing even right now. We ask you, O God, to touch these men and women of God, the children of God, the deacons. Thank God for him having this line on Friday nights and Saturday night. He has a line over there. Prayer line comes on Friday night, Saturday night, about 8 o'clock. He's out of Mississippi. And that number is 712-432-3900. 712-432-3900. And the access code is 3087-8587. And you can always go in there. And listen, that's 308587 access code. The line is 712-432-3900. That's 3900. You can go in there with him. He comes on at about 8 o'clock, 8:15, somewhere around there. And he's usually there Friday and Saturday night. Sometimes he's not there because he sings on the crowd, the praise team at his church. But stop by at times and pray with him and so on. But we pray that we leave this line today, that God will bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we go, bless us when we come. We pray that God will make us the head and not the tail. He has set us above and not beneath, that he'd make us the lenders and not the borrowers. But we are praying for the blessings to come, and we know a lot of money is coming to us. It's coming to us very, very soon. And we are not praying for them to come so that we can be braggadocious or we can act with him more than anybody. But we're praying for God to allow them to come to us so that the money to come, they come quick so that we can help people. Because there's a lot of people that need help. And we know this. You know, and they know that when we get the money that we're going to help them. Because we help them now with a little bit that we have. You know, so when we get enough, much more, we can do more help. We can help more people. So we praying for it to come. They say it's coming soon, and we believe it's coming. When it comes, we will have the people, you know, as we promise the Lord. You make a promise to men, you don't keep it. But when you make a promise to God, you've got to keep it. You've got to start with a little bit, helping people now with the little that you have. And I will show God that you're gonna bless folk when you get the big money. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them. You love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child. or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. That just means that you must let everything that Jesus did and said be seen in your walk. You must let it be seen in your walk, in your life. Because remember I said, your life is your ministry. Okay? Not just because you go up on the altar and you preach, and you're preaching in the church building, but when you're walking out there, your lifestyle. Because you might preach the best message, but if your walk don't line up with your talk, people call you a hypocrite because you're not really living. God bless you. Have a blessed weekend and a safe weekend. We love you, but Christ loves you more. God bless. Bye-bye.